Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, welcome to My First Time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. My name is Xing Xing.
I got to have a look at her. I got to see what it all looked like with two women together, and it was so beautiful, and it was so what I wanted.
Today on My First Time. There's the old cliche that people are the sum total of all their experiences, but I've never met anyone who exemplifies this better than Zora Khan, our guest on this week's podcast.
Hi, my name is Zora Khan, and this is my story from when I left my marriage and my religion.
She was introduced to me by Hayley, whom you may remember from Threesomes, our very first episode. And let me tell you, Zora has lived quite the life. At the age of 25, she went from fundamentalist Muslim to out and proud lesbian, and she ditched her husband in the process too.
I like to use the term when people see the swimming pool, how they would they dip a toe in, do they check the temperature? I dive straight in. Yeah, I don't really check. I just dive. I kind of just jump right into everything that I do in life. I was quite a disciplined, practicing religious Muslim. So I don't think I knew what I was into because I was so controlled within myself. My dad is from Afghanistan, quite strict, tried to impose that on my mum, who's quite Western, and we weren't happy. I was born and bred here in East London, but then took us back to Afghanistan and we fled. So we kind of came away from any culture or anything, but my mum was at uni and was quite of a human activist, and she kind of got lured into a cult, which then we as children kind of got lured into. And I was quite impressed. I was an impressionable age. I was 11. 11. And I dedicated my life to Islam.
The group that Zora got involved in was so extreme that at one point, Louis Theroux wanted to do a documentary about them.
Yes, it was an extremist organisation. It was quite fear-based, and we thought we had the truth, and we had to, we can't stop until we implement the Sharia in London. And to, it was just about implementing what we thought a utopian way of living would be. There was no violence. It was just we had very extreme viewpoints, you know, where we was separate from the Muslim community. The Muslim community didn't see us as Muslims because we was just, I don't know what the hell we were following. But it was, you know, we were part of something. We had an identity, and I got stuck and lost in that for many years of my life, probably until my very early 20s, and got married and, you know, had children. And I thought that's how my life was going to be.
Being part of the group gave Zora a purpose and an identity, which is totally understandable. It's exactly what people look for when they're young. But things began changing once she got older.
I was outgrowing all of it, and I don't think I was so scared of going to hell or committing sin. I think I lost the fear a little bit, and I wasn't so codependent with my husband, so then it gave me room to kind of see that, hang on a minute, there's another world out there.
Risking losing your children, your family and your community is not something that anybody takes lightly. But like Zora said earlier, she's not the type to do things by halves.
So the argument that led to me coming out was in a heated discussion. of this is not working anymore, our usual things that we'd say. And I think I was bold enough to say, I don't want to be in this anymore. This is not what I want. And then, oh, by the way, and then the rest came out. And it was, yeah, it didn't go down too well. Because I think I was so worried about, what does this all mean now? Is this really going to be over? He was quite shocked, but then understood, because he kind of got why sexually there was something not quite right in the relationship. So it kind of maybe missing piece to the puzzle. I think it was a lot for him to take on, all of it, because I wanted to leave my religion, take my hijab off, which is, for a Muslim man, it's almost like, you know, I don't know, it's whether it's safe for them to have a woman that's kind of dressed moderately and got a little bit of ownership there. So it was a lot of breaking free. I don't know how that must have made him feel. And then obviously the sexuality, I never said I was going to act on it. I was just literally telling him, this is something that I've kept from you. And almost like, I need help. But I think he just, it was too much. It was an overload. And I think once he walked away, I think he maybe wanted me to sit with it. And me in of course, the person that I am, I didn't sit with it. I went out, took my scarf off. And I thought, I'm using this opportunity. I've got no husband at home. We're not going to be together. I'm going to go see what this is. And I went to my first gay bar and I loved it. I went to the candy bar. Oh, my favourite bar. I have such good memories of that place. A lot of people are like, the candy bar. I'm like, oh, I love that place. It was a heaven for me. I walked in to a bar just full of women, and it was safe for me. I had no idea how to chat women up. I mean, it took me such a long time to be able to figure out the game. I thought, if you speak to someone, you get married. You know, that's how I thought it worked. You know, I didn't realize you take a number and you don't text them for a week. That was just a new world to me. You know, it took me a long time to discover how I dress on the gay scene. Like, and I had to do all of this on my own because I had no friends.
It wasn't just the basics of sleeping with women that Zora was clueless about. It was the whole culture.
The first time I was exposed to the L word, which was a lesbian, what was it, a box set of, and it made me see that there was a world of practicing lesbians, which I'd never been exposed to, funny enough, living in London. And I think that opened me up to the possibility. I think there was always just that possibility, which I'd never had before.
The funny thing about Zora's first time is that she couldn't have done it without her religion. It was what initially led her to a women-only gym in the first place. And that, in turn, was what led to her very first grown-up crush.
There was this lesbian that worked there who looked like, you know, had the role of the androgynous, manly look, which I was very into. But I think that's because it was defined as, this is a lesbian. I didn't know that anybody could be a lesbian. And I had a massive crush on her. So I used to get dressed up specifically extra. But this was coming to the end of my marriage. And I had the hots for her, and she didn't even notice me. I find any way of going to speak to her and would not stop thinking about her. And she was like my first proper lesbian connection. But she was so shy and I was so shy. So nothing happened for like a good 7 months. So like there was this kind of sexual energy, and there was this massive build up, obviously a massive build up for me. It was almost like a, you know, from my teens build up. So you can imagine I had all of these expectations and fantasies of what it would be like, and ended up going, because nothing was happening between us. And she was naughty. She had a girlfriend. She didn't tell me that. So that took some time. And then obviously me going onto the gay scene now, I'd become a little bit more, you know, if that wasn't happening, I'd go out. Yeah. And then my first ever proper encounter, I made out with a girl from the candy bar. I was quite drunken. And don't forget, I'd never drank before. So now everything was new to me. Like half a beer, I was gone. So that was my first encounter. But then when I did finally consummate it with this girl, it was amazing. It really was. It was actually everything that I thought it would be. I think it was the very fact that I was naked and there was this woman, and it was just the gentleness and And it was just different. And I knew at that point that this is what I wanted. She was a personal fitness instructor who used to work out a lot, was into sports. So her body was quite masculine, had quite androgynous hair, but she had a massive accident. So she was taking hormone tablets, which then made her voice very masculine. So it was double whammy. And I think my ex-husband had realised that I wasn't really chasing him back, tried to do some investigation, must have called her on a phone and said, I know that you're seeing him. His name is Lauren and her name was Lorianne. She was sweet. She was shy. She was cute. She was what I would describe like a comfortable lesbian, a woman that is comfortable with her sexuality. And I think that's what it was that I was so attracted to. Somebody that had kind of was comfortable, you know, being with a woman. The first time I got with her, we'd have to do all this planning. We'd have to drink wine. We'd keep getting shy. We'd have so many times where it wouldn't happen because we'd just get shy. I think it got to a point and it was just very, she was just very soft and gentle and, you know, led the way. And I was very nervous. I didn't know what to do. I froze because she was so gentle and she kind of, I would say she made love to me. I'm so glad that that was like my full proper experience, because mm-hmm. it was tender. She came over in the day and she had like a few hours slot, and I was also a single mum to children. So, you know, about having babysitting time and all of that. So my first time, it was just so different in the sense that obviously it was with a woman. So I'd had so much time to imagine and fantasize of this very moment. I just was craving, that's the word, I was craving this intimacy with a woman. And I think because that's what it was like everything stood still, and I got to have a look at her. I got to see what it all looked like with two women together, and it was so beautiful, and it was so what I wanted. Even like a kiss on the neck was like heaven. I mean, obviously it was new for me, so I don't even think I properly had an orgasm because there was just so much kind of intensity with it. And I have to feel relaxed and safe with somebody. But everything was heightened and it didn't matter, because that's all I ever wanted was that making love part. That's what I needed in the beginning, and it did fulfill that. So actually, I'm actually quite happy when I look back at my first time. I haven't remembered it for a long time, actually. She was the one that led, which was brilliant. She led, and we only had sex a handful of times, actually, before it didn't work out. But them times that we did, it was just, I would say, fascinating, because it was just so different. It was different to what, you know, it was just so different. And it was a whole new world that I knew that I hadn't even stepped into. And I knew that there was so much more to experience. What was different is that she was slow, and it was about me and her. It was just lots of kissing me from head to toe, taking the time out to look at my body, seeing where I like it. My neck was my sensitive part. I had no idea that somebody that can kiss me on my neck could feel that way. A 25-year-old lady had no idea. You know, all of this was new to me. I was so scared of not being able to give oral sex to a woman. It took me a very long time to do that. In fact, I had to be so wasted and it was only my next relationship. That was something that freaked me out.
You might think that's the end of the story. Strict religious mum breaks away from her family to party at candy bar. But no, Zora went from that tender, gentle, first-time experience to something way more hardcore.
My next girlfriend was a dominatrix. So I had the whole making love experience, then went into being tied up, was a slave, you know. It was just went in from like this sweet, gentle to like this hardcore, you know, full-on dominatrix four-year relationship that was really unhealthy. I use this word unhealthy because it actually was very unhealthy, but it was so like, it was an experience I will never forget. Like, it was very hard for me when I came out of that relationship to go on dates, because I'd be like, so you're into self-asphyxiation, and they'll be like, whoa, what are you going on about? You know, I was only accustomed to that way of having sex. She did all the things and that I guess were in that repressed side of me, would call it dark, but it was quite sexy, and it's just brought it all out of me that I didn't know. So it's almost like she had this power over me even when I wasn't with her, so I was always constantly turned on.
I think most people would see the world differently if they'd been through half of what Zora has. From young mum caught up in a fundamentalist group to party-loving lesbian and one-time BDSM slave, I guess it just goes to show that there's so many first times waiting for you out there. You just have to be brave enough to seek them out.
So looking back now, oh my God, I see how much I've evolved. I've seen how many experiences I've had, how many when I say lifetimes, I really mean when I go into something, I go full in. And looking back now, I just see it all kind of builds up to this bigger picture of me learning about myself. I'm very much about, you know, going within, doing a lot of within work. I guess I see that all of these experiences make me see the world differently, how I am with people. They do play a part in how I am the world, because not many people have had the backstory and the experiences.
Thanks for listening to My First Time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. I'm Zing Sing, the UK editor of Broadly, and this episode was produced by Sam Bonham. If you want to find out more about Zora and our other guests, go to broadly.vice.com and look up My First Time. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.